session number 856, Leonard Gom, Reel 1.
My earliest recollection of war came at the tender age of 6, when I saw the City Imperial Volunteers disembarking at Tilbury docks from South Africa after the end of the Boer War. They were known as the CIVs, but a cynic dubbed them Chamberlain's Innocent Victims, which I think they were. 10 days after war broke out, in August 1914, I joined the army and was sent with a batch of men from the 10th London Regiment at 208 Mare Street, Hackney, which was the regimental headquarters, to the White City, where I started my training. We would drill on Hackney marshes for days on end, and ultimately we went to a very big establishment at Lewisham, which had belonged to Penn, the Thames Ironworks master. From there we were sent down to Crowborough in Sussex, and from there we came up to East Anglia, to Ipswich. After a spell there, we then went down to Wiltshire, Warminster, to a camp known as Brown Knoll Hutments. And from there we found our way to France and landed in November 1916 at Le Havre. From there we were sent up the line to Arras and detraining at the railhead at Frévent. We eventually found ourselves in Belgium on the Poperinghe sector. I should mention here that on July 1, 1916, when the big push started, I'm sure the British public could not have realised it, but in 3 days casualties amounted to 236,000 killed and wounded, and the carnage was so great that many wounded died because of the corpses lying on top of them. To my mind, this was the greatest fiasco of the whole war. But the final tragedy was yet to come, because we found ourselves in March 21, 1918, fighting in the same places as the ill-fated troops did on July 1, 1916, and the villages that we knew then, which were obliterated by drum fire and heavy machine guns and high explosives. Although they were no longer in existence, they were still known as the identical spots where the previous fighting had taken place, such places as Miremont, Bowman Hamel, Bapaume, Courcelles, Auxerre-le-Château, Doulon, Herberton, Villers-L'Hôpital, Combourg, Comte-Maison, and many other places so well known to those of us who were there. We then found our way up in Belgium again on the Ypres front, and Passchendaele was a dreadful place. There was terrible gunfire there, and we had more casualties going in and out of the line than we did when we were actually in the line. And we had the experience in Belgium of coming up against the Portuguese troops, who we dubbed the Pork and Beans. But what was noticeable was that when the Portuguese detachments were holding their side of the line, there was very little fire from the enemy. But the moment we took over, the firepower increased in intensity. And it was some time before we realized that a peasant ploughing his field with four horses, three of them grey and one white, it was noticed that he would saddle them up, two grey in front, one grey and one white at the back. This indicated, of course, to the enemy, it was a very subtle way of signalling, without it appearing either suspicious or conspicuous. But when we stopped this farmer, we had very little trouble from that time on. I should mention here that the brigade were very anxious to find out what troops we had in front of us, as it was difficult to be sure. And a bombing party was organised by the colonel. This was quite an effective operation, and it consisted of a young officer and a full corporal, a young boy who'd been a call boy at the London Palladium before the war. He had with him a large corporal and 20 men, and they infiltrated one night into the enemy lines, and they were quite successful in bringing back, without casualties to themselves, 22 prisoners for identification. And this was such a successful operation that the authorities awarded the lieutenant of the party with the MC, the little full corporal, quite a good boy, he received the DCM, and the other members of the party, the remaining 20, each got the military medal. And this was quite a remarkable achievement when one considers that it was done without any casualties to ourselves. About this time, as a full sergeant with a substantive rank, I wrote to the colonel of our regiment in England, pointing out that it was very dull there, and would it be possible for him to send a gramophone out? And we were very delighted and perhaps surprised that eventually one arrived with lots of good records, good music, current ballads, etc. And we had a lot of pleasure in playing these to the troops. But one night the enemy made a foray into our lines and incidentally picked up our very much prized gramophone with all the records. But the strange part about this was that shortly after this we heard a German band playing in their positions, and we decided we'd investigate. And this we did, and in so doing we were able to bring back the whole of the band again without casualties. And the following day we marched them down through the village in our support lines, and much to the satisfaction and delight of the few inhabitants that still live there, I had the pleasure of seeing the enemy troops playing their band at the head of the party that captured them. And it was little incidents like this that relieved the monotony from time to time. On March 21, 1918, we knew the Germans were preparing for a big push, and this was the day they decided to attack. They came at us in such numbers that although we mowed down the front rank, another rank took its place, and this went on when, by sheer force of numbers, we were obliged to retreat. And in 2 days we'd gone back 45 miles. Shortly after this there was a meeting of Allied statesmen in the back area of the lines near Clermont-Ferrand, which consisted of Lloyd George, Clemenceau, and the military heads of the Allied armies. It was then realised that the position and condition was a very parlous one, and it was agreed to appoint Marshal Foch as the Generalissimo of the Allied armies in France. And from then on we began to press back the enemy, and it was not long before it was seen that the enemy's position was pretty hopeless, and eventually the armistice was signed on November 11, 1918. But I would like to mention here that the morale of the Allied armies was really at a very low ebb. It would be absurd to say otherwise.